Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you with us. Busy first hour. The conversation was primarily on Nick Saban's statements and a vicious attack on Saban by an editor from Deadspin. Not that that matters. He's been attacked by others. Reaction to that, we'll have a guest coming up here in a few minutes, Chris Vanini, one of the top college football writers in America from The Athletic. And back to your phone calls. You want to give us a call, you can get in now, 855-242-7285. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm shocked that the yellow journalism that Deadspin has stooped to about this, right? I mean, taking a shot at Saban being compensated well for what he did, he started the arms race in coaches' salaries, right? I mean, that all started with him, and he was worth, I've said this many times, anybody here in Tuscaloosa, to this community, he's worth every penny and more. Oh, yeah. But, you know, the other thing that I recall over the years is Nick Saban asking for ways to help players, to compensate players, actually, whether it was an allowance for expenses to help, you know, keep their mind on what they needed to do. You know, the statements about trying to create value for the players has underpinned everything within Alabama football under Nick Saban's tenure, much more so than prior to that. And I think that it changed the game. I mean, we know he changed the game anyway, right? In the way that he worked operationally. I think the frustration, and I understand this, right? The frustration is, Once you open Pandora's box, you say, okay, they're going to be, we're thinking of an NFL model, they're employees, we have to worry about labor laws, we got to worry about, you know, taking taxes out, all these other things. It is a lot to think about. It's not just something you can do willy-nilly. And I don't think he was against that, but it's been a long time that the NCAA sat on its hands. The state ended up taking action. And in Alabama, the state legislature really hamstrung both Alabama and Auburn and any other university for a while around NIL. Even so, I saw something yesterday. Alabama's number two in NIL. So it's not like, it's not like Clemson, you know, and Dabo Swinney, where I don't want to touch it at all. But I think that that's a really irresponsible article. I think it completely misconstrues what's going on. And, you know, whether he had, you know, issues within the team, I mean, truthfully, before last year, at the start of last year to the end of last year, I told my wife, I said, man, he looks like he's just been president for 4 years. Like, it looked like it aged him immensely having to deal with his team. And, you know, maybe NIL is some of that and the new, you know, the newly what it takes. But it seems strange to me that you have basically someone taking cheap shots at someone who has, as Bubba said, more than earned the right to retire however he wanted to go. Right. Working up to the last day. Hey, that doesn't shock me at all. But if they're going to sit there and make that claim that he didn't care, and oh, because he was so well compensated, how dare he not try to control that? You know, Saban was all about respect and loyalty, right? And loyalty was really important to him. And I think that, you know, when that sense of loyalty is bye-bye, I think that that hurt him. And I will also end on this, Paul. This is the first kind of phases of the COVID kids, right? The COVID year kids who went through kind of high school virtually. And I'm not so sure that there isn't something to be said about the way they kind of were socialized during those
years. You know, Chris, this is just observational because I don't have kids in school. But, I mean, just driving around my neighborhood, I mean, I don't see anyone going to school anymore.
No.
And I think you're right. 4 years ago, nobody went for 2 years, and then they started.
Right.
And I think it's also, and I mean, I just don't want to sound like the get off your lawn guy because I don't really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But the workplace, I mean, it's it's not the same place it was five years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago, of course.
No. And I think from this perspective, I think student athletes understanding, you know, we talk about know your worth, right? And loyalty is only as good as it exists. And within the workplace, loyalty doesn't really matter. But when they get to the NFL, like how many people get roster managed out of the NFL and never make it? Like a lot of people. So that doesn't end, right? It doesn't end at college. I think it's, you know, there's a chance that folks may make more money and never, you know, and still not cut in the NFL. How many draft busts do we have, right? And they haven't made much in college. That they have a chance to change that. And it is generationally changing money that you're talking about. But I think what's frustrating to Saban is that he himself has been asking for this multiple times publicly, even as the last instance I noticed was last year, right, about this time in 23. It's, you know, what does the cap look like? What are we going to set as the guidelines to follow? Because in a chaotic, no rules world, who knows where you go, right? How do I know? How do I allocate resources that we have? How do I work with that system? When it doesn't exist, you're just shooting in the dark. And quite frankly, you know, Tennessee getting a lawsuit filed against them by the NCAA, I think, you know, probably my take on it would be that Saban was probably extra cautious, knowing that, you know, the target would be on him immediately if there was anything even hinting at, oh, hey, you violated some NIL, some specious NIL rule. And that puts him as a coach at a competitive disadvantage because the rules are not clear. And without that clarity, and I think that is squarely the fault of the NCAA. Like, I don't think anybody could argue that. The NCAA did not do its job, right? And it only had one job, which is to manage college athletics, and especially, you know, changing environments when it comes to college athletes. And they didn't do that, right? And I didn't do that for a good 5 to 10 years, truthfully. So that's my piece, and I'm getting some, about it. I think it's ridiculous.
We're really getting some great calls today. I want people to think about what he said, because I don't know if I've yet to – I mean, I've heard it in the employment world, in the workplace, but I haven't really heard the phrase COVID kids in relation to college sports. But there's a really good point there, and I'll let it marinate. I want to get some other thoughts on that. Let's check in with Todd next. Hey, Todd.
Hey, good evening, Paul. Been a good show so far, brother. Hey, I want to apologize to I-Man for yesterday. That was my fault that he got caught up in my crap. Also, I want to say this to Legend. Boy, I love you, but it ain't nothing but air and opportunity between me and you. Don't you ever forget it. But anyway, Paul, here's what I'm going to tell you. And you know it just like I know it. Paul, it's a color problem, and it started with two white men. They started this whole thing. And if you'll go back and
hold
remember,
on, I'm not sure I understand you. What do you mean?
All right, what I'm gonna tell you is, you remember back Steve Spurrier and Coach Nick Saban. All right, they wanted to pay the players, and it was okay. They wanted to get their mamas and the daddies to fly to the ball games, and they wanted the players to have all, you know, spending money during the week. And we all understood that, Paul. But they didn't have a way to figure it out. And once that ball started rolling, they didn't know how to control it. All right? Now, you take this great young black athlete. All right? Now that they done started this path, each one of them, they have not learned to earn and work for it, but they're great. God made them that way. But this is the deal, Paul. Here's the thing. It's a brotherhood between white folks, black folks, and at a football team, that's called team. All right? I lift my brother up when he's having a problem. But when somebody's showing out in my locker room, all right, we know the coaches can't whoop them boys. All right. But I will not let nobody say nothing to my coach. Black or white, we go to that young man and we say, if you can't get it under control, we'll put your ass down the road. All right. But Paul, here's the deal. God tells us this is the way things are going to be. I mean, he explains that in the Bible, and that is the truth, Paul. That money, it ain't evil. It's the root of all evil, and here it is, brother. But I just wanted to give my two. And let me also say this, Paul. You got great callers, man. Joe from Red Bay, Dwayne out there in Louisiana. Let me tell you about Dwayne from Louisiana. He sounds just. I had a good friend. He's dead now, over at Demopolis, and this man couldn't read or write. but he was one hardworking man, and he trucked with us, so he could only run in the state of Alabama. And but when he wouldn't have anything to do, my dispatcher and them would ask me, said, Todd, will you take him to Texas with you? I said, yeah, I'll do his paperwork and everything. He'd run with me. And his name was Connie Lewis. We called him Sweet Daddy. Everybody loved him to death, Paul. And when I was a company man, me and Sweet Daddy, we were hauling liquor, Counts, Tennessee, back both Prattville down here, and American Can over at Nayola, Alabama. We almost didn't go to sleep for a week, and both of us made about $4,000 that week, and that's a lot of money for a company man. But a man walked in there that heard that he made that money, and he said, ain't no N-word worth that much. And he liked to, between me and a couple of my friends that drove there, we liked to have killed him over that, because, Paul, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I just don't. I love my black friends, and I love my white friends, but, Paul, most importantly, God told me I need to love everybody, and that's what I'm going to do, brother. So, anyway, thank you, Paul, for taking that time with me, bud.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Quite a program. Guests to come, and JK is up next.
What's up, stranger?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man, I had to take a break. You know, every time I called, it seemed like the Bama faithful had a problem with all of my opinions, so they might as well get ready to be mad again. Paul, let me talk about little Nick a little bit. I heard the comments that he made about the players being mad and pissed off and throwing helmets and all of that stuff after the Michigan game, but they didn't do anything different than Alabama fans do. I'm sure they threw stuff after the game, too. But what Nick didn't say is how he screwed up the last call. Now, let me talk about the play, the NIL and the portal. Nick Saban has been the highest paid employee in the state of Alabama for almost 20 years. He didn't have any problem with that NIL deal. So why would he have any problems with kids wanting to make money? All he's doing now is making excuse after excuse. He didn't have any problems with the transfer portal when he went to Ohio State and got Williams to help his team get to the national championship game. He didn't have a problem with the NIL when he went to Georgia Tech and got Gibbs. So he's talking out of both sides of his neck, and for what reason? I don't understand. He's retired and moved on, so why is all this stuff coming up now?
Well, I can't answer for Saban, but it sounds like he's trying to justify it.
But, Paul, he can't justify it. You can't talk about the kids being pissed after losing, because that's what kids do. He screwed up the last play. He should have been throwing stuff. But, Paul, you know what? ESPN, this is what they need to do. Game day, because that's where Nick Saban is going, right?
Right.
I think they need to bring Pollock back and sit him right next to Nick Saban's ass every Saturday and let them have it out. That'll only be fair.
I'll pass that along if I ever see any of my bosses.
I appreciate it, Paul.
We went from JK to Bama Nick. Hey, Bama Nick, what's up? Bama Nick, obviously not awake. It's late in the afternoon. Susie is up next.
Hi, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay. I have a comment. I have a comment to the person that put me on the two worst list. Way to go. But before that, I have a comment to Bash that I've been wanting to make. And today, it really is appropriate because he was talking about legend and how, you know, legend mimics Nick Saban or whatever. Well, Paul, every time Bash calls you, he says, Bash, or he goes, Bash brother Paul, thanks for taking my call. So who is he mimicking? He's mimicking legend.
Right.
Sorry
you
about
are correct.
That, Bash, but you're not a Black Hatter. I am. Okay. Now, to the person that called, I have someone that would like to say something in the car with me. It's my 9-year-old god-granddaughter, Sophia, and I was listening to you, and she goes, is that your friend you're listening to, that you always listen to? And I said, yeah, that's Paul. Well, then when whoever came on to bash me, I don't even know his name was Rick, I don't know, but Sophia said, is he talking about you? And I said, yeah, it's fine. She goes, I thought he was your friend. I said, no, Paul's my friend. But this is a guy that doesn't like, you know, my calls. So if I could allow my granddaughter, Sophia, to have one sentence to you, would
sure.
that be okay, Paul?
Of course.
Okay, go ahead, Sophia, as loud as you can, girl.
I don't like how you talk about my sister. You're just jealous.
Well, thank you, Sophia. That was beautiful. That was
Sophia.
Great. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
And thank you. Thank you for letting her speak.
Well, it was our pleasure. Well, thank you so much, Susie. Let's check in with Bama Nick.
Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South.
Correct.
What you doing today, Paul?
Bama, just hanging out.
Well, I know you ain't on the radio. I mean, on the TV because of the SEC tournament going on. But thought I'd give you a haul anyway.
Well, so, that you made our day.
You know,
thank
yesterday
you.
After I got off the call, you know, I ain't been on there 5 minutes. Then I got off the air, and who started calling and bad mouthing me? Who is it? Johnny B and AJ or whatever his name is, the Ben Twillerquist dummy. Did you hear that, Paul? You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I vaguely remember them saying.
Yeah, call me an old man.
Right.
Has been on your show and all that, trying to get in on y'all's that March Madness thing you got going on with the callers.
Right.
Tell them it's like Bama Nick don't have to worry about getting in as one of the best callers. I've always been the best caller. And I'm up here at the Fish House Seafood Center pouring me a beer and having a good time with my buddy Mark Tyler and Carrie Moe. Now, what you got to say, Paul Feinbaum? You tell them idiots. To call your show. Don't,
I'll tell them
don't,
to show
don't
you,
start
show
trying
you more
to get
respect,
in a contest with Bama Nick.
Nobody wants to be saying that about you. Well, you take care of yourself. Have a beer for me. How about Coleman next in South Carolina?
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great. So this has been a really burning question for me. What do you think is next for the NCAA with the just – major conference realignments coming up in the next few years?
I think the NCAA is really going to have to just hang on for dear life. I think their usefulness has already been rendered to be non-existent. And the reason they'll remain relevant is that they have the basketball tournament and the baseball and softball and all that. But at some point, that will be taken away from them, and I think they'll be extinct.
Yeah. I it'll be really hard to tell because there's so many conferences like the Pac-12 that just their entire conference is falling apart with USC and Oregon, all those teams moving. Just it'll be a disaster.
No, you're. How old are you, Coleman?
I'm 12.
Well, you You're a future talk show host if that's what you want to do. I really like you. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. You take care of yourself. We'll continue with more phone calls here. And Al is up next on Rocky Top.
How we doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Well, obviously I'm a happy man today because my Volunteers won the SEC last night. I live in Knoxville, but I went down to Columbia to watch that game. Man, I tell you what, that Coliseum they have is quite the Coliseum, and it was packed.
Yeah,
the only thing better
was
the end when they all got up and started to let themselves out a little early. That was a beautiful thing. They were really rocking and ruckus in the beginning, and then after Tobe Awaka and Jonas Adu started knocking them around inside, it was not going to be like the game in Knoxville. And
no.
They got on them from the get-go.
No, it was really fun. That was not a sure thing, but I was really impressed with Coach Barnes' team.
What do you think they're going to do in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think some of it depends on seeding. I mean, I think their best shot is the number four seed, number one seed, I should say. I'd rather that's a dangerous situation, but when you're a number one seed, you're literally guaranteed of the first round, and you're in reasonably good shape to get to the Sweet 16. And then it gets a little prickly. But, you know, remember, was it 4 years ago or 5 years ago? Tennessee was in the identical situation and was upset. Last year was a little bit not quite the same. But I just think from the beginning this team has been destined for the Final Four, and I think they'll get there.
I think, as a Tennessee fan, I've watched Coach Barnes for a long time, and he's a quality individual, quality coach.
Oh, absolutely.
But this team, in my opinion, has a little bit more metal to him. Barnes' teams are always hard-nosed, but he's been king of the Sweet 16 for the last 5 or 6 years.
Oh, sure.
And I just think this team has a little bit more metal about them, mainly Dalton Connect, because when you need somebody to go get a bucket, they just give it to him and get out of the way. Get you 20, 30, 40 a night. But he's not the biggest misconception with the Vols. Everybody assumes that, oh, that's all they have.
No.
They've got Zakai Ziegler's probably the most unsung hero on that team, and I love the way that kid plays.
No, he's been
anyway,
a star since day
fun
one.
Fun times in Rocky Top.
Well, you should enjoy it. It'll be a little less pressurized Saturday when UK comes to town, but the desire to win will be the same. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. Chris Vanini from The Athletic will join us. We'll get his take on Saban and some of the other college football issues. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. As we continue, busy afternoon, a lot of conversation about Nick Saban and his comments earlier this week. We'll talk about that in a minute. Chris Vanini joining us from The Athletic. Chris, thank you very much. I wanted to ask you about something that broke this afternoon. I'm trying to understand the meaning of it. You spent a lot of time following the vagaries of television and college football, but Fox announced they're doing a Friday night game. ESPN has done that in recent years, and it seems like with each year it becomes more irrelevant. Good afternoon, and what's behind this?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I don't know. I've been moving about. I don't know if Fox has announced it yet or not, but I know our Andrew Marshall reported it. Sports Business Journal did as well. But, yeah, Fox Sports will have a Friday primetime college football game every week this season. They're set to announce it. Part of the idea is it'll be like a big noon kickoff. They want to make a big Friday night game. And this is ultimately not a surprise. I think if you kind of just looked at the landscape, we figured this was coming. The Big Ten is going to have 18 schools. You can't fit them all, you know, necessarily on a Saturday. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark said last year at their media days that this was going to be something coming down the road, because if you're the Big 12, you know, the Big 10 and SEC are going to take up most of the major time slots on Saturdays, so you may get a big Big 12 game on Friday night possibly as well. You've got them, Arizona, Utah, you've got some Western schools as well. And then the Mountain West. Those are the three college football conferences that are tied with Fox. And so Fox now wants to make Friday night a big day, just like they have turned Big Noon into a big time slot there as well.
Chris, when this first started, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago, when I think it was ESPN or somebody put a Friday night game, there was a big hue and cry. I realize you probably weren't born yet. But Friday night used to be sacrosanct for high schools. And I wonder what these networks, including the one I work for, think about that in relation to every time you put a game on, and now there's a couple of games on, it takes away from what should be the most important thing, is preserving Friday nights for the younger players.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless they're broadcasting them, there's not much of a connection to it. And coaches hate Friday night games. They don't like this because of that. They want to protect high school football for the sanctity of high school football. They also recruit on Fridays. They go to games and that kind of stuff. Like, it's an important day for them. Coaches don't like it. When Brett Yormark said this last year, there was a lot of pushback from people, especially in Texas, where a good number of Big 12 schools are, that this is, they do not like that whatsoever. But college football now is in the spot where, you know, ESPN once made Thursday night football a big deal in college football. But then the NFL came in for the last 10 to 15 years, and they took over Thursday night. And so it kind of squeezed college football back again, where now college football is leaning more into Friday nights as something that they're going to have to do on top of the Saturdays. You know, we've never had more games broadcast. It is a golden age, so to speak. You can watch any game you want. You may have to pay more for it, but you can watch any game. There's only so many time slots available and that type of stuff. So now it's spilling over into Friday because it can't happen on Thursday and it can't happen on Sunday. So high school football is one of the casualties of what's happening with the NFL and college football.
Well, now that there's NIL in high school football, they'll probably have to get over it. Chris Vanini with us from The Athletic. Speaking of NIL, we spent a lot of time today talking about Nick Saban's comments. It's not totally different than what Saban has said in other interviews, but it has drawn a lot more conversation because he seems to be pointing the finger at situations in the locker room in Pasadena. Everybody has an opinion, and when we talk about Nick Saban, it's always hard to get sound opinions because we all, most of us at least, think he can do no wrong. So we ask you your takeaway from yet another Nick Saban interview about why he left Alabama.
I thought it was refreshingly honest in that he acknowledged all the dynamics that have changed while also saying it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, he says, you know, he gets back after the Rose Bowl and after taking some time off, 70 to 80% of his players want to know, what is my playing time and how much can I get paid? And Nick Saban realizes this isn't the way we've won before in the past. It was a greater sacrifice among everybody. And I do respect that he decided, look, this just, it isn't the same anymore. The way I used to do things may not happen anymore. It's time to get out. You know, that there are other coaches who just complain about it and do all these different things. If it ain't for you, either stop complaining about it and deal with it or get out. And that's what Nick Saban has decided to do. Because, you know, it's just like That's like any other pro sport. What do the players want to know? They want to know, are they going to play? And how much are they going to get paid to do it? That's how normal sports work. That's how normal jobs work. And as we kind of head down this road where players are probably going to become employees and all these different things, it is natural. And it's a new part of college football. And a number of coaches just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and by the way, he left. It was not really a shock, but I think we continue to parse it. And while we're talking about Nick Saban, many in Tuscaloosa are wondering, is Saban going to continue to be either a main story or a side story? He's about to go into TV, and there is another coach there, and I realize we both know that. But I'm curious, as somebody who has a little bit of distance, but still you can't escape Nick Saban, do you think Saban is always going to be a story every time he talks, whether he's on television or giving an interview? Because you have to wonder, does that take away from the current coach, who is, by the way, in case you forgot, Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal whenever Saban says something. One, because he is the greatest of all time. He's always very thoughtful in the things that he says. You know, I think people really respect that. And two, he's getting paid to do it now, you know, by your network. That's part of the job now. He's going to be doing NFL draft stuff and college game day and all this stuff. He's going to have those opinions and thoughts on stuff. That's what he's getting paid to do. And it's interesting because, like, you know, we've seen college football and college basketball especially, a lot of the big-name coaches are retiring. They're getting out. They're old in age and that type of stuff. But they're not taking the same platform that Nick Saban is taking. So anytime anything happens major in the world of college football, ESPN's going to want to have Nick Saban on to give his thoughts about it. And we're all going to be interested in what his thoughts are about it. And so that will be an interesting situation for Kalen DeBoer. I'm curious how much Saban will talk specifically about Alabama versus maybe college football as a whole. We know he's still around there, obviously, a lot. So that is going to be an interesting dynamic where not only is the old coach, you know, around, but he's still going to be one of the leading voices in the sport. That is pretty different.
Yeah, and I think it would be especially different in the, I say unlikely, but because I think most people expect Alabama to be good, but for whatever reason, if Alabama misses on a few games, then it becomes a much dicier situation. And then I think we are going to be even paying more attention, are we not?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a comment from Steve Spurrier the other day saying he thinks Billy Napier is hiring too many people to his staff, you know? Like, Spurrier has always been the kind of guy to say how he feels. You know, he's willing to not necessarily criticize, but, you know, talk about another Florida coach like that. I don't know if Nick Saban will or not. Maybe Nick Saban just keeps it to an X's and O's breakdown when he talks about what's going wrong with Alabama if something's going wrong. Or just saying, when I was the coach, we had to do this and this and this, but it's a different thing and Kalen's doing his own thing. It is going to be really interesting. If Alabama struggles, what is Nick Saban going to say about it? Because everybody's going to want to know. It's going to be blown up no matter what he says. That is a bit of a tough situation, again, because Nick Saban's going to be getting paid to do that now.
Yeah, and I think, too, in the past, while I strongly believe Saban was kept abreast of the reaction, I know that for a fact, he'll have a lot more time to see the reviews, whether his wife or family or somebody else, because that's pretty much what he's doing right now, other than sampling his four or five homes.
Yeah, no, I mean, this he loves football, you know, like, none of these coaches retire and then go to the golf course and you never see them again. None of them want to do that, because to be a football coach, to be a successful football coach, you have to be a complete maniac involved in that stuff. And you can't just cut that cold turkey. You know, these guys always have to have thoughts, watch games, share opinions, talk to people, visit schools, do all this. They have to stay around in the game. So it's not a surprise that Nick Saban would want to do that, will do that. We'll do that with ESPN, where, again, he's very, very good on television, and I expect they'll get a lot out of that. So it is, you know, having the greatest coach of all time go straight to television, we're going to want to know what he thinks about everything. And I'm curious how he's going to be used on game day and all these different things.
Cannot wait. Chris Vanini, always interested in what you have to say as well. Chris Vanini from The Athletic. We'll take a short break here. Much more to come as we roll on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Fast Eddie is up next on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Paul?
Yes, sir.
This is a Fast Eddie from Pisgah, Alabama. I'm a real Fast Eddie.
I'm glad to hear that.
You have a caller that calls in that he says his name's Fast Eddie. I don't know where he's from, but that's not Fast Eddie. That's Whining Eddie.
Okay.
I guess you know who I'm talking about. But the reason I called is a couple of weeks ago, I kept hearing these callers calling in and whining and complaining about your callers and what kind of show you have. They was talking about, you know, how that you're supposed to be a sports show and all that. And they really just don't get the picture of your show. You got a great show. It's an entertaining show. And it's a show about fans. And if I may, I was going to mention what kind of fans you do have, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
Yeah, you got that AJ feller, and you got I-Man. What they are is Alabama fans, but what it is, they're Alabama wannabe fans. And I really believe that I-Man, he's got a crush on Nick Saban, and Nick Saban won't have nothing to do with him, so he just calls in and puts Nick down all the time. And then you got Legion, or Legend, I don't remember. I mean, John, I think it's Jim from Tuscaloosa. He calls him Legion. But Legend, I really think he's just a fire weather fan because, you know, he got more like a cheerleader. And but everybody calls in your show are actually Alabama fans. But the true Alabama fans that you have are fans that's been born Alabama fans. You got to be. To be a true Alabama fan, you got to be born an Alabama fan. And most of those guys, they can't help it because they ain't true Alabama fans because they wasn't born Alabama fans. And then you got Jim. He's a fan, but he's a fan of Jim, you know. And then you get – but the only true Alabama fans that I recognize, and these are only my opinion, but I recognize Handsome Joe and Dominic. I believe them boys are true Alabama fans.
Well, but Fast Eddie, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's go next to – who do we got here? I don't know. I can't even tell. Let me try AC next. Hello, AC.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling, sir? Thank you so much for taking my call.
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Absolutely, sir. I have a question for you. You know, I've been hearing rumors. Again, rumors are rumors until it's proven. They want to change Bryan Denny Stadium, the name itself. Is this correct or am I wrong?
What do they want to change it to?
I heard they want to change it to Nick Saban Stadium. I mean, I'm just going by what I heard. I don't know if this is true.
I have not heard that.
Okay, if this is true, I disagree with it, and let me tell you why. It should be called Paul Feinbaum Stadium, because the amount of time people accuse me for Bama, I'm dead serious. The amount of people criticized you, they accused you falsely, but I understand they're ignorant. What are you going to do? They should give you a VIP lounge, and guess what you should be drinking, Mr. Feinbaum? Cat Daddy Moonshine. I know you're going to love that, Mr. Feinbaum. Holla.
Let's go next to Dan up next. Hello, Dan. What's up?
Thanks. I appreciate taking my phone call. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. In this town, they call me Wolverine Dan. Speaking of fans, I've been with this Michigan team all my life. No matter when it was up or down, I was that guy. And I wanted to talk about legend. Legend, I will say this. You have been fortunate to have the greatest coach of all time coaching your team. And what he did was phenomenal. Never been done. Two different teams, national championships, and he's the best. There's no doubt about it. So you're very fortunate, legend, to have what you have. But what's happening now with all this money being dished out, plus the transfer portal, I don't think, Paul, you're going to see this that often anymore. You're not going to see a coach that runs had a run like Saban. So in my closing, legend, you're nothing but a doughboy, okay? You're a fair-weather fan. I'm the guy that's been sticking with the team from the get-go. Now, and also, legend, I will say one more thing, Paul, if you don't mind. He always says this, but I can say it this year. It's been a while since 97. Legend, kiss the ring. See you later.
Thanks for the call. We are about out of time. We will continue with more phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.